I have many times in my life, there's times I've found myself to be in the same mess again that I've been in before. I don't know if y'all ever do that or not, but sometimes I find myself, and I remember when I'm in it the second time, I'll say to myself, I said last time I wouldn't ever do this again. And I find myself here again. I'm not talking about preaching. You're in the mess. I'm not in the mess. Told you a story. I believe I told this story some time back about a thief that broke into a house. He broke in a house. And he got to looking around the living room. And as he started to load up his bag or his sack full of the things that he wanted to steal, he looked on the wall and he saw a picture hanging on the wall. And the picture on the wall was of Jesus. And the man continued to try to steal stuff from these people, but every time he would bend down or reach over to pick up something, he would look and it would appear that Jesus was looking at him. Well, the man couldn't take it anymore. So what did he do? He goes over to the wall where the picture was hanging. He picks up the picture, turns it around so Jesus would not be looking at him. So he went on with his business there and robbed the people and left with quite a bit of merchandise. And when the police and the detectives come in, the owner said, I don't understand this. The picture of Jesus is turned around backwards. So they got the fingerprints off the picture of Jesus, found the guy who had broke in the house. If he had only left the picture alone. But he couldn't live with the idea that Jesus was looking at him. He couldn't live with the idea that he knew what he was doing was wrong. So he had to correct that. And I got thinking about that this afternoon. And when I was thinking about, sometimes I do anyway, that I find myself in a predicament. I find myself in a situation that I wish I wasn't in. And one of the biggest things we have to face with that is we know that we're making a mistake. And I've even said I would give anything if I was not in this situation. A couple that I married, not here, a couple that I married some time back had been going through some problems, and I've talked to both of them, and at one point they were ready to give up. One of them even made the statement, it's not worth it. I don't want to be miserable. And I told them both on different occasions, I said, that's Satan talking. I said, don't forget the love that you had for each other. Don't forget the love that you shared that day in front of all the people that was there, and you promised each other and you promised God that you were going to love each other until death alone parted you. And I said, you're going through a hard time and you can't give up and you can't quit. You got to work through this. You got to work through your problems. You got to work through your differences because you made a commitment, a promise, and don't forget how you felt that day. That you were so happy the day that you got married. You know, we all do that. We all do that to a degree in our life because we will think about where we started and where we're at now. But just think about the Bible for just a minute. So many examples, both in the Old and New Testament, that tells us about how people changed their lives. For all practical purposes, all that we know, Judas started off right. Now, God knew ahead of time that he was going to be the one to betray Christ, but from what we read and what we know here, he started off on the right foot, he started off on the right track, and somewhere down the road, Satan got a hold of him, and money got to be an issue, and riches and worldly possessions and all the things that go on today got under Judas's skin, and he betrayed Jesus. So he started off right. How many of us start off right? You know, we start off thinking to ourselves, I'm going to be a Christian. I become a Christian. I'm going to live that Christian life. And here I go. I go through life. And it's not long till we get down the road somewhere and Satan gets a hold of us. Satan starts talking to us. And he tells us, "Now, this is the better life. This is the better way. This is the way you need to do it." And we begin to listen and see Satan over here and say, "You know, Satan's got a good idea over it." Now, we don't really say that, do we? We wouldn't ever agree with Satan. But in our mind, somehow, he pulls us and he leads us that way. And people do that today. They start off on fire. They start off excited. They start off saying, "I am going to live each day faithful to God." And somewhere along the way, they end up in another direction. Well, the next obvious point in the Bible that you'd have to bring up would be Saul. Now, he started off on the wrong foot. He started off right totally opposite of what we would want to start off. He started off over here and he was persecuting Christians and he was trying to destroy the church and he tried to destroy the whole idea about it. And then as he got down the road, God's voice got a little stronger. Matter of fact, there was a light from heaven and a voice. And Saul, who became Paul, listen to God over Satan. And there's people that way too. There's people who start off on the wrong foot, maybe because of their home life, because of decisions they made, because they went, as we say sometimes, they never had a chance. You know, there's people that we say they never had a chance because of what they were raised in. And there's people like that today that never had a chance, but somewhere along the way, somebody, maybe us, somebody reaches out to them, somebody makes that effort, extra effort to them, and they go out of their way to help them, to be nice to them, to love them, whatever it may be, and they see Jesus, they see Christ. And then they turn their life. So there's two examples, totally opposite of each other. Starting off right, ending bad. Starting off bad, ending good. Well, what is it in the middle? What is it that we can talk about that can be in the middle? And I was thinking about that this afternoon. I said, who is it that started off good, went bad, come back good? You know, that, 'cause that's how we want to be. If we're going to go bad, we want to come back good. Well, the first one that came to my mind was my favorite Old Testament character when I was a kid anyway, was Samson. You know, Samson was going along, everything clicking along real good. Matter of fact, I remember when I was younger, I thought, you know, that'd make a great movie. You can think about Samson's life for a young man or a young woman either, but especially a young man as he's growing up, you think about how strong he was. The action movies, the action heroes that we grew up thinking about and knowing as we watched television and we read books and all that, Samson was that. He didn't have to call for help. He had help. He was the help. He didn't need anything except God. Somewhere down the road, he went against what God said. God told him, "Don't ever put a razor to your head. Don't cut your hair. Have that commitment. Have that commitment to me." And the pressures of the life, the pressures of the world, the pressures of Delilah. He tried to fight it back. He did. But finally he gave in to the temptation. He gave in to the nagging and the just begging and trying to pull you away from where you need to be. And y'all, Satan does that to us today. He gets our attention, then he keeps hollering at us. He wants us so bad, he just keeps nagging at us. And Samson, he gave to that. And I don't know about you, Keith, but there's been a lot of times I think I can't believe he done that. I can't believe he went from this picture that we have in our minds, or at least I do, of Samson as a young man and the strength that he had, the commitment that he had everything. to allow somebody or something to pull him away from where he was, and he lost it all. So he started off good. He ended up bad at some point in life. Then he comes back around. Because in Judges chapter 16 and verse 28 it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me." He realized he was not where he needed to be with God. He had done exactly what God told him not to do. He allowed it to happen in his life. And now he's blind and he's weak and all the things going on in his life. And he prays, "Oh Lord God, remember me. Give me strength." Later on, the next two or three verses, it says, and he bowed. When he had his hands on the pillars, the columns there, he bowed. And I can picture in my own mind all the effort that he was putting out to push that. Can't you see that? You can see it in your mind because you can think how he was praying, "Oh Lord God, remember me. Maybe I made mistakes. Maybe I failed. I done exactly what you told me not to do. But remember me now and give me strength. Because I need you. And I again want to be your servant." And God gave him that strength. Three different things. Start off good. Walk away, end up bad. Start off bad, end up good. Start off good somewhere in life, end up bad, and then you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to tell you something. Samson ended up in the faith chapter. He's mentioned. I looked again to make sure. I knew, but before I got up here, I turned to Hebrews chapter 11, and I scanned down through there, and yeah, Samson's in Hebrews chapter 11. I thought he was. He's mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame. And folks, he made mistakes. But yet he turned his life around. We went to church this morning in Jackson. Stan had been on us, my old man Wendy, for some time, wanting us to come down to where, at Jackson, where he serves as an elder. And we went down there and got to see him and worship with them and saw a lot of people that we knew today. And the preacher, well, actually, he got up this morning and said, I'm not a preacher. Our preacher was not there. And he said, "I'm not a preacher, but I'm going to speak today." And I started to say that tonight. I'm not a preacher, but I'm going to speak tonight. But one of the passages that he used this morning, he asked a question when he got up. He said, "Does anybody know?" And he started talking about several verses, and it tied into a question that he started with. He said, "God is," and he left a blank there. And obviously the answers that could be said is God is love, God is forgiving, God is great, God is faithful, God, I don't remember everything that was said this morning, but it was a long list of things that God is. But I didn't speak up and I didn't say anything. And finally somebody got what I had said to Wendy, or I think I said it to her. God is in my life. And that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God is in my life. But he made reference to a scripture this morning, and he said, "Does anybody know what Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says?" And I whispered to Wendy. And it says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You see, his point this morning he was talking about was this. A lot of terrible things happen in life. He said, there's people here in this congregation who's having marriage problems. He said, there's people here in this congregation that's having financial problems. There is a, I don't know if he said a couple or a family that has just buried a child. And he named a lot of terrible things that's going on in that particular congregation with the families that's represented there. And then he went to this verse and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And he said, how does that happen? Sometimes we have to look and see the good. Found an article this afternoon I want to close with. It says there's many, many responsibilities that we have and that we put, as we should, on our shoulders while on this earth. It says we hold the spiritual future, not only to ourselves, but the children that's around us. We hold that in our hand. He said, what is more beautiful than to observe the pure and faith of a little child toward God? No wonder Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. He says, when they are properly taught about God by faithful Christians, and I need to say that again, when they are taught about God by faithful Christians, they have a beautiful and pure thoughts toward Him. Then he made reference, I got to pull it up, my eyes are getting worse, I got to pull it up where I can see it. He says, there appeared in a magazine and a series of letters written by little children to God. He says, not only do these letters reflect sincerity, but also their experiences in Bible classes and their examples at home. He said, let us consider some of them. And here's a few of them. Dear God, I just feel good knowing that you are everywhere. That's all. Respectfully, Margaret. Dear God, I read your book and I like it. Did you write any others? I would like to write a book someday with the same kind of stories. Where do you get your ideas? Best wishes, Mark. Dear God, sometimes I'm very scared in my room at night. I know you're there to protect me. Your friend, Diane. Dear God, a lot of people say bad things with your name in it, but I never do. Helen. Dear God, my daddy says he would not want your job for anything in the world. He is an electric engineer. But could you make it so he doesn't work all the time? And you should not work so hard either. Love, Maria. Dear God, you should see our grass. Did you do it? Lou. Dear God, I want to be just like you when I'm your age. Okay? Tommy. Dear God, please take my... No. Dear God, please make my sister prettier so she can get married. Thank you, Philip. How can we not help but smile when a child talks about God? We may say, well, they just don't understand, but maybe they understand more than we give them credit for. You see, Ella and Jay Cruz will ask for things that's, I don't know if funny's the way you ought to say it or not. Childish? Maybe that's the way you say it. Childish. And we're more sophisticated, you see. We're a little further up here, aren't we? We know what we should ask for. Folks, we need to include God in every aspect of our life. We need to pray to God for the difficult things in life, but we need to pray to God for the simple things in life too. God needs to hear from us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put God first in every aspect of your life. We have to start strong. We have to stay strong. We have to finish strong in our life. and then we'll have a home in heaven.